done, you're gonna be taking splinters out of your fat asses all night long because you got the fat ass. The only one chance you have no chance because you had a chance to be the run lickety split. But you can't run because you're the fat ass.
Well, Ric Flair, you know what? I'm not a normal looking athlete myself. You know what I'm talking about? I've been in the years of line. It's a privilege and an honor to walk out with Ole Anderson, Lex Luger, and the Omni tomorrow night.
I am not a happy camper. What is Bully Ray's motivation? No, I love him. I know he loves sugar. But I check my pocket. I don't have no donuts. I don't have no cheeseburger. I know you love sugar, but I ain't got none.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, right here in Nashville, Tennessee, pal. I'm the man.
Booking a match for the total package, Lex Luger and Super Brawl. Super Saturday, what is it? I don't even know what it's called. What is it called?
Super Brawl Saturday.
Super Brawl Saturday?
You don't lose faith in winners. And Ric Flair day in and day out. Every day of his life. Just keep winning and winning and winning.
Ric Flair! New York City, Ric Flair! You're gonna find out what hard is all about!
I do exactly what I want to do. You say I'm insane. I say thank you very much.
Make a good intro.
I hate God.
Hit the deck. Yes. We love you, Scott Steiner.
Today, I've got the star and profile like never before.
You guys talk about being students of the game. I am the f***ing game, JR.
Oh, yeah, bro. I'm all just here for the record. We're all just doing the best we can.
That's it, man. Doing the best we can. You know what? I don't even think that had started. Honestly, I don't think the broadcast had even started. So right now it looks like it is recording. So, and my camera is going just fine on the other side. So I don't know if we got a new recording or what, but we're on Mixler again. Okay. Let's just fucking do this. Let's keep talking. Let's keep doing this, Mark. Let's fucking roll, man. Anything fun going on with you?
Not at the moment. No. How about you?
Wife came and grabbed me today when she was about to leave, and it looks as if we have rabbit babies.
Rabbit babies or rabbit babies?
Rabbit bunnies. We have babies.
Very good.
I've never seen a, like, 1 hour old rabbit baby, but today I did. And it's pretty cool.
Hmm.
Yeah, so six of them, I think. Seven. There were seven. Two didn't make it.
No.
Nah, a lot of people say when you have over six for the bunnies, a couple always have that, one to two always have that risk. So, yeah, but still, seven nice bunnies that are out there right now. So.
Same rules should apply to humans. If you have more than like six, you got to start making decisions.
Yeah, you just got to start killing them off. And Tuesday, we had three ducklings. Remember those ducklings were behind me? Those duck eggs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an incubator behind me. There are now guinea eggs in there. She's going crazy, dude. She's going crazy.
So now there's Italians on the farm?
No, not that kind of fucking
little
guinea.
Baby Joe Pesci's walking around.
Not that kind of guinea, you fucking asshole. Okay. Talking about a goddamn bird. Damn it. It's a bird I'm talking about here. A bird. We used to have that Australian dude, that Tommy guy.
Good old Tommy.
I miss Tommy.
We all miss Tommy.
I miss Tommy. Tommy. Shout out. Anyway, folks, yes. Yes, this is about all I have going on. Just all kinds of life happening in this house. Got chicks outside. I got fucking ducklings in my closet in my room. I got eggs being hatched. I got bunnies being born.
It's a very fertile environment.
Ah, there you go. There you go. Let's hope not too fertile. No more for me. No, no. No more. No more. Anyway, on that note, folks, I guess we can talk about wrestling. And since we're talking about life, I guess we can talk about someone who might want to be glad to still have his life. That would be Darby Allin. Mark, I did send all these to you over in that private chat thing. If you or should I share my screen, which is easier for you?
Well, I don't see any of it in the private chat. So,
all right. So, oh no, I go to present for that, right? Yes. Look at me remembering things. Share. Okay. I can even see what you. This is awesome, dude. This is pretty badass. So. Oh, wow. Oh, smart. This is awesome. So there you go, folks. Obviously, we're talking about Darby Allin, which I said before. Darby Allin was walking through New York City, trying to cross the street. And I'll tell you, he got hit by a bus, folks. You know, you make jokes about being hit by buses and folks, it actually happens. Here's a picture of him. His face is beat up on the left side. I guess he was crossing a street, and this does look like a bus hit. But I don't know. This guy just does not have good luck, Smark.
No, it is not.
I mean, this is just unlucky. I mean, look, I feel horrible for the guy, honestly. I mean, he breaks his foot. All the guy wants to do is climb Mount Everest, which I really wish someone could talk him out of doing that.
Poor guy just wants to die at a mountain. He keeps getting hit by buses and breaking his foot.
I mean, most people get hit by a bus, they're dead. Not this guy. No, no. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Nay, nay.
Still kicks out at two.
That's it, man. Like Darby doesn't know how to fucking stay down, so, geez, Darby, get well, but, yeah, that was one thing we did want to at least mention tonight, but, yep, Darby Allin walking through New York City and just hit by a bus crossing the street.
Yikes.
Could happen to anyone, right?
Theoretically, yes.
I mean, you make jokes, you could die doing this, and you're like, dude, you could walk outside right now and get hit by a bus.
If I got hit by a bus in New York, I would say.
Well, I mean, they probably didn't realize it was Darby Allin. You know, not many guys have a fucking something tattooed on their forehead like he does. So, just kind of the way it goes, So, but yeah. Darby Allin, get better. Get better. Wow. I don't know if it'll go to the next one and still share. Nope, it won't. So I'll have to share it again. I'll have to share it each time. Is that what you're telling me?
I can leave it on. I just took it off and then I was going to bring it back on.
No, no, no. No, it's literally only giving me the tabs, which is fine. Oh, it's fine. I'll just share as we go. We're not going to talk about that. I guess we can. Boy, I'll tell you, Smark. It's been another bad week for AEW.
No.
We will definitely be talking about the Harvey Weinstein comment from Tony Khan. We're going to be talking about Dax Harwood not looking very well in the eyes of Twitter while arguing with Eric Bischoff. And another story running the rounds is that AEW has lost two, not one, but two of their international distribution deals. One of those deals is with Televisa Univision, which I'm sure tons of you know. I think they think it's just called Univision in a lot of places. They put their programming on the VIX platform. It was in Mexico and countries in Latin America and the Caribbean. But based on an update, they will not be carrying it any longer. They actually said, effective immediately, AEW events will no longer be broadcast on VIX. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause and assure you that the alternative entertainment options will be. Don't worry. We're putting something else in their place.
we will not be running a 2-hour long test pattern.
Shit. We'll just put on I Love Lucy in place of that. All right, folks.
The fucking, there's a Mad TV version of like the Spanish I Love Lucy. That would actually work perfectly with this.
Actually, what was I? I happened to run across the, not that I haven't seen it, but the show. Remember, do you remember In Living Color?
Yeah.
I have it. And I was actually, there's a few of them where Jim Carrey is the Ricky character. And it's the whole, it's funny. It's funny. I forgot how funny that fucking show was. And how you couldn't make hardly any of that shit today. That Men on Films, no way. You couldn't make half that shit today. So cherish that show for what it was, folks. But the second distribution, international distribution they have lost, folks, is with DAZN. DAZN? I'm not sure what to call it. DAZN or DAZN?
I think it's a zone or some shit.
Thank you. You came in just to give me a kiss.
It's like the one that they air like the boxing matches and show.
Correct. Correct. I've seen it. What? Oh, you want a high five? All right. Thank you, Lene. Daughter just came in for a kiss and a high five. Anyway. Yeah, it looks like. Now, we talked about this, Mark, back in January of last year, 2023. I remember us talking about their deal with the, because we couldn't pronounce it then. They had a 3-year deal. Yep. They had a 3-year deal. And they had a 1-year out clause. If they weren't performing, then that was going to, they could get out of their contract. They did choose to do that. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and read this little quote here. This was kind of in their press conference here. The reason DAZN dropped AEW is because, except for All In, the pay-per-view numbers were below expectations and not enough people were watching except for select episodes for the and the first month of Collision, where AEW was available internationally, so DAZN ended the deal early, as they had the right to do in January. They did want to make perfectly clear. The gentleman who wrote this article said, want to make perfectly clear, to me, it wasn't AEW fault the deal wasn't renewed. I ran the wrestling social side for DAZN. AEW bent over backwards when I asked for interviews interviews and liners from talent to promote their major TV shows and pay-per-views. DAZN never gave wrestling even 5% of the budget given to boxing and MMA, which to me was a shame, as wrestling had a real shot at DAZN. But besides me and the news team, it never got the opportunity it deserves. So there you go. Two distributors. One is basically not really giving a reason. DAZN giving a reason, but also saying, listen, we weren't promoting it right also, so let's not blame this all on Tony Khan. Or AEW. That's what I hear. What about you?
I mean, yeah, they're saying war. So.
Yes, we're blaming it all on Tony Khan tonight, folks. That's what we're doing here. That's what we're doing here. So, but yeah. Yeah, and you know, I'm still baffled at that boxing is still such a big thing, man. I mean, I don't know, but these fights still bring in ridiculous pay-per-view money. So, what do I know, right? What do I
mean,
know?
The ones with the social media.
Is that pretty much what they're doing, kind of showing the like the Jake Paul fights and shit?
I don't know if they specifically, but I mean, those are the fights that are making money.
Oh, yeah, they are. You're right. You're right about that. So, I don't know, man. It's just like, and everyone already is making a big deal. Oh, that's it, folks. This is the beginning of the end. That's it. They're done. They're sunk. They're sunk, Smark. Stick a fork in them. They're done. But no. I doubt they are, man. But Eric Bischoff. I can get into the Eric Bischoff thing while you got his name up there. That's fine with me.
I'm sure that we will.
That's totally fine with me. We can go ahead and talk about that. So we had, of course, Eric Bischoff, who is not a fan. Not a fan.
Don't say.
Not a fan lately of the old AE dubs.
And by lately, you mean like the last?
Probably right around that time. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You're probably right there. So Dax Harwood, because he's a company-loving man, kind of pushed back on Eric Bischoff a little bit. Let me just, I can't see. I'm fucking blind. All right, there we go. Dax Harwood kind of pushed back a little bit on one of Eric Bischoff's latest quips, as this article says, about AEW, saying he was being stalkerish. Bischoff has open about some of his crit. Are you looking at this sentence? Bischoff has open. Yep, not right. Okay. Anyway, both on social media and his podcast, and he had a mild quip in response to a fan talking about speculation over AEW's profit margins. Now, let's just remember one thing, folks. It's all just speculation. No one knows. The only one who really knows if they're profitable is Tony Khan and people behind the scenes. We don't know. They're still a private company. Eric Bischoff said, if AEW were profitable, everyone in the company would be singing like the cast from Glee. Now, I do.
If that's one of the ideas, they need to bring him back.
I mean, listen.
Fucking musical episode of Dynamite.
Let's bring back MJF and Jericho. I'm loving it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's that. There you go. There's a few on that roster I don't think I would want to hear sing. Just want to put that out there. But
just trying to think of like who on that roster would be least likely and most likely to watch.
I don't know. This was I like I don't think Brian Cage could probably hold a tune, you know.
Ooh, I mean, you'd be surprised. He's got to be able to do something good on the mic.
Meanwhile, best match last night, I thought, was him and fucking Claudio. Thought they fucking killed it last night. So there you go. Now let's go back to the first tweet by Mr. Michael Weir. We'll just kind of rewind here. It said, he said, basically AEW will be profitable when they get their new media deal, much like TNA did when they got their deal with Spike, I believe. It was Spike, he's correct. Only thing that bothers me is that they are just, these are just estimates. Only Tony Khan and his team know if they have turned a profit. And of course, Eric Bischoff just can't leave it alone. Now, I'm surprised Tony Khan himself didn't chime in on this motherfucker. But instead, we got Bischoff's little, as the article says, quip about it, Smark.
A mild quip.
And then Dax Harwood had to jump on in. He said, listen, I know it's your gimmick, and the other guys pay you well to bury AEW, but checking out your timeline and all the Tony tweets and RTs, it looks very stalkerish. Netflix Baby Reindeer would do you a bit of good, my brother in Christ. That was my Dax impression. I don't know.
Pretty good. I'd give it about a 7.5.
I mean, a little easier being out here in East Texas. My daughter is even starting to say, I don't have any pants. I went, oh, fuck.
Okay. Important question. The shopping vessel that you push.
The kids call it a buggy. I call it a cart.
Right.
I agree.
I don't know why, but the word the buggy just bothers me so much. And it's like, it is categorically so that it is a cart, because when you go online, you order things online, they don't give you an option to add things to your buggy.
No, they don't.
But unless you're Amish. If you're Amish, it is acceptable. But otherwise, I do not accept.
My wife also calls it McDonald's instead of, I've had to break my kids of that one. Trust me, there's been a whole arguments about this. She almost threw me out of the car one day. But anyway.
Come on.
Yeah. Dynamite is my daughter's favorite show. Thanks. Hold it for my daughter. All you fans. Tony Khan. If Tony Khan had kids, I'd be doing it for them. If Tony Khan's kids had kids, I'd be doing it for them. Shad, I'm doing it for you, brother. That's the strongest fucking mustache I've ever seen besides mine.
That is a pretty glorious mustache.
It's fucking strong, buddy. Strong mustache right there. I like that shit. You know, I hate to say.
Tony Khan needs good respect. Is Tony Khan needs to grow a mustache.
Now remember, Dax has a pretty strong mustache himself.
I guess.
Pretty good. Pretty good. But here's my thing. It seems like there's a few guys who, when they open their mouth on social media, just get kicked in the teeth for it. And Dax is one of those guys. Because this didn't go over very well for him either. I don't think I have any more. And I really don't feel like reading the replies. But trust me, it did not go over well for Dax. Bischoff, though, really, it almost does seem like the other guys might be giving him a little bit under the table to fucking talk a little shit about AEW. And you know what? If they are, they are. I wouldn't give a shit. It would not fucking make one bit of difference to me if they were. If WWE was giving Eric Bischoff whatever, whether it be interviews, whether it be a fucking royalty deal, or a Legends deal, whatever. I don't care. That's their business and Eric's business. But it just seems like whenever somebody puts out something trying to be even the slightest bit positive with AEW, Bischoff is chomping at the bit to chime in with something negative, because God forbid anybody be positive and have a good time. You have to be an asshole on social media. Otherwise, you don't get likey-likes.
That's exactly it. It's like an engagement farm. Everybody is so, got their heels so deeply dug.
And you know,
it's just the same shit. Everybody has the same opinion week in, week out. You know, it gets to be just annoying, because it's like, they're not actually like formulating any thought. They're just doing what's expected of them. They're playing the greatest hits. Cornette does it. Bischoff does it. so on and so forth.
Playing the greatest hits.
Fucking Bubba Dudley.
Oh, who, yeah.
By the way, was on fucking SmackDown Friday, so it's not like, you know, it behooves him.
Yeah, and, you know, you that was a very good line. That's pretty much what they are doing. They're playing the greatest hits. Whatever line they think is going to get, you know, which, listen, I understand, folks. I get it. A lot of those guys need that's their revenue. I understand. I mean, we do this totally free, which we're probably idiots for doing it. We should be out there doing more. But I'm not a social media.
You should be bashing me.
Well, I mean, look, trust me, we have bashed Tony Khan for the past fucking month and a half on this show. Last week's show was dog shit. I said it more than you. But, I mean, I think we're pretty fair. If Tony Khan does something good, yeah. Unfortunately, that's few and far between. When Tony Khan does something good. Like I said, the whole thing with Eric Bischoff, though. I mean, Smark, would you give a shit if it came out and we found out WWE was slipping him a check under the table to promote their company and trash AEW? Would it fucking really matter to you?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, but it wouldn't matter to me. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me either. And, you know, as far as, like, you know, the tribalism, man, who do you blame for that? I've heard a lot of people say it's Tony Khan's fault. You think Tony Khan is to blame for the tribalism?
It's just a societal thing, though. It's like everything is so just us versus them. It goes to politics. It goes to, like, these fucking the social media just in general. It creates these sort of, like, hyper fandoms. Where it's like, yep. You just, anything that your side does is not wrong. Any side, the other, you know, any opposing sides. If I can, like, the Taylor Swift fans are rabid, you say anything bad about them, and the fucking swarm down upon you like locusts. It's just, oh, that's just, it's across the entertainment world, just any sort of social media, like anything that's big enough to have a fandom has fucking these rabid people.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. See, I'm in agreement with you right there. Social media has caused this, the fact that everybody just is so, as you just said, rabid about what they believe in. And that's not a problem, folks. That's definitely good. That's a good thing that people are rabid about what they believe in. But my God, let someone else believe in something else. Let someone else watch. I mean, my God, it's like you bring up WWE to the AEW fans, they fucking cut your fucking head off. You bring up AEW to the... Or it's vice versa, and it's horrible.
Oh, no. Hey, Cheese, how you doing? Cheese says boxes of Pepsi at broadcast, and Mark is the heart behind it. I mean, I...
Well, I'm glad I got that one. I'm glad I'm the Pepsi. I'm not sure if that's good or bad. Yours is really bad. Mine is not.
Well, it could be argued that, like, you're responsible for people getting, like over a wider span, the whole fucking the high fructose corn syrup and shit. You're gonna be killing people.
That's Coke. That's not us. No one says put Pepsi on your. No one says put Pepsi on your car battery to clean it, do they? It's Coke.
I mean, I'm just like jerking off into a plant or something. Wasn't that part of what he did? I mean, among the.
I swear to God, I'm not in a garage, folks. I swear.
Points the camera up, and there's like a fucking car on the jets.
Maybe I should turn on the clock behind me. No one will be able to see it, though. Here,
it's side of a body shot.
There you go. What do you think? Is that better?
Okay, so you're arguing that you're not in a garage, that you have a clock, as though you could not put a clock in a garage. This is the clumsiest argument ever.
All right, I'm shutting the motherfucker off now. No, I'm not. This really is my little office.
It's a cool clock, but...
It really is my office. I swear to God. It really is. It's my office. Maybe I should turn the desk around and face that wall and have a white wall behind me. Would that be more fun for everybody? Fine. I'll do that without the fucking gallons of water behind me. Fine. I'll do that. Fine. Tomorrow.
As long as it's water that's in the gallon. So.
Yeah, and you know, CM Punk, I did think it was kind of funny. Tony said Pepsi when he knows it's fucking on CM Punk's arm. And I guess we can talk about that shit right now. Let's just go ahead and get into it, I guess. Fucking Tony Khan. Fucking Tony Khan. We were live during the NFL draft, I believe, when this happened last week, which is probably why we didn't catch it or hear it until afterwards.
It happened on Friday. The draft was Thursday, but the draft is also Thursday through Saturday, but he was talking Friday through Saturday.
Okay.
Which, as fucking usual, the most, like, heated topic of debate happens to happen 24 hours after a fucking note.
Right. Yeah. It's okay. I swear. It's all right. Because it's just, I've loved hearing some of the reactions to this. Tony Khan, again, as Smart just said, on the NFL draft with his little neck brace on. Meanwhile, he's still doing this with the neck brace on. It's like, dude, you have to.
It's only going to make it worse.
Stiffen that motherfucker up. Pretend it's fucking stiff. But he did that. He was talking. And, of course, he just went completely DJ Hyde off subject and started talking about AEW. Now, Smart, I have the audio. Should we just play the audio?
Sure.
So, I mean, I cannot do this comment justice, so let's go ahead, folks. Here is the up. Oh, you're not going to be able to hear it, though, are you? Hold on a second, Smart. Give me a second, please, so I can get this going here. Which one do I bring up? This one? Yeah, okay. VLC. Share. All right, hopefully you can hear this. Let's do it. Oh, if I play this video, what's going to happen?
We'll see the video.
We're going to get in trouble for a 32-second?
Yeah, I can turn the camera off.
We're going to get in trouble for a 32-second video, you think?
Not when it's us. I could also just go ahead.
Nah, let's just play it.
That's me. Yeah.
Let's just play it. Screw it.
There has not been a...
I'm embarrassed for the man, Smart. I'm embarrassed.
You know, now that I hear it is a flimsy comparison, because one's a soft drink and one's a sex criminal. Like, that's not really... It's not a one-for-one.
Well, first of all, it's a stupid fucking comparison, number one. Number two, why? Why does WWE have to be brought up as the evil juggernaut? Why? That is not fucking helping.
Also, I would say that AEW is probably more like the starry of the rest of companies.
I do not.
It's Fresca.
Ooh, I'll take a Fresca over Sierra Mist. I do not like Sierra Mist. That shit tastes like fucking rusty dirt.
Well, you will not take a Sierra Mist at all. They're gone.
Ah.
Starry, you know.
No Sierra. It's what?
Starry. Starry.
Never seen it here.
Yep, it's the Pepsi brand alternative, because they got rid of Sierra Mist at the E3. They rolled out Starry, and it was funny because they were trying to capitalize on the Sprite market. And if you just go ahead and throw whatever you want to by the phrase the Sprite market, but I will say that they started airing a bunch of commercials during the NBA All-Star game. So that they're trying to get a very specific clientele that was having nothing to do with it.
Because that shit tastes like fucking rusty dirt.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful. They were wrapping his shit up, man. As soon as Tony Khan said Harvey Weinstein of pro wrestling, they were like, okay, yeah. All right. Just tell us what the fuck's wrong with your neck and we're getting the fuck out of here.
Well, what I didn't realize about this until he played it again was the idea of, like, he made the comparison twice. So, like, the first time he didn't go there and he wanted to. And then the second time he's like, you know what, I'm going to go. Like, I was in my mind. I wanted to say it. I didn't say it the first time. I'm going to say it this time. I, honestly don't see so much what the big deal about this is, because it's like the allegations are true. I mean, yeah, I get the idea of like, is now the time, because but there are people that were saying like, oh, he should use his time to promote his company. That is fucking exactly what he was doing. He was promoting his company. I mean, it was the NFL draft. It was like one of the most highest rated NFL drafts ever. It was a fucking, everybody was talking about it, but then everybody was also talking about him and the neck brace and his company. So like, okay, yeah, he made the Weinstein remark, but he was one of the most talked about things and one of the most talked about drafts in recent memory.
That's great, but most of it was people making fun of him or calling him a fucking clown. Or being embarrassed.
This is true.
Or flat out just being embarrassed by the comments. I mean,
I'll say this: see how many people like Dana White. What? Like, there might be something to that. Because I mean, it's just like, I understand Tony Khan is off-putting, but like, he's getting himself out there. He's getting the company out there. Like, is it positive? Perhaps not, but I mean, I think everybody's trying to like push the envelope.
Well, you know, that was all
the WWE's doing with their product. Like now, yeah. AEW's like leaning into like fucking car crash television, basically.
Well, the only thing Meltzer cared about was that it got tons of coverage for AEW. That's all he cared about. I saw articles saying backstage, you know, thoughts on Tony Khan's Harvey or controversial comment. I saw this, I saw that. Only article I see that is like, man, controversial anti-WWE comments got tons of coverage for AEW. And I realized that was actually Tony Khan's quote. But my God, Dave, Jesus, put the dick down. Tony Khan did actually address this on TMZ. He actually addressed the anti-WWE comments, as we just played for you. We don't need to go through that. He said, well, I think that we got tons of coverage for AEW. Asshole. And I think that is the input, that it is important to say, I think AEW is the best wrestling company in the world in many ways. I think that we have the best wrestlers, the best matches. We've been putting on the best shows. I think the best pay-per-view events this year have been the two AEW events, Revolution and Dynasty. Now, there's more, but I want to start there for a minute, Mark, if you know. If you believe what you just said is true, then there was absolutely zip, zero, zilch, no reason to throw your fucking in your mind competition under the bus like that. None. If you believe what you just said, then that is all you should have concentrated on in the first place. There was no reason to bring up WWE and especially Harvey Weinstein. And again, it's not a problem, Smark. It's just this guy needs to know when to shut his fucking mouth.
I mean, I wonder how many, like, how people who don't really have a dog in the fight, I guess. Because, like, I was talking to Cheese about it, and Cheese said that he was, like, kind of starting to get a little bit more interested in AEW, but he was, like, trying to kind of go and open his mouth, and then it was, like, he fought it off, but to kind of paraphrase a little bit. But, like, a lot of the shit, like, the backlash, the discussion is happening on social media, and it's funny because the people will say, like, oh, you know, just permit, are the ones that are making the fucking tweets about AEW versus WWE over and over and over again. So it's like, it's okay when we do it all day on our fucking Twitter accounts or Facebook accounts or whatever, but don't do it in the media appearances.
Well,
it's like, okay.
Not when you're all a fucking billion, when you're a billionaire, not, welcome, Scorpions. Thanks for stopping in. Yeah. Just, like I said, man, this guy needs to know when and where. Not a good time. I know he seemed like he was having a great time. He looked like he was having a fun in his little war room there with his neck brace on. But if you believe that AEW is the best wrestling company in the world, if you believe you have the best wrestlers, the best matches, and have put on some of the best shows, then why? leave it there. No one would have had an issue with that at that point. But no, no, no. He had a fucking
I will say it. That I do not have the sensibilities that most, I would say, normal people have. But if I hadn't been watching wrestling in like 4 or 5 years or something, like the duration of AEW, and I heard like some rumors, mumblings, whatever, it's like, oh, Edge is there. No, so-and-so is there. You know, all that kind of shit. And I hadn't watched wrestling in a minute. And I was watching draft coverage, and I saw a guy at a neck brace saying that our competitors are fucking rapists. I was like, you know what? I'll check him out. Why not? I'll fucking watch an episode. Like, this guy seems like a raving lunatic, but I'll give an hour of my time. Fuck it.
The guy in the neck brace told me there were fucking lunatics over here. Why am I not going to check this out? God damn it.
The man in the neck brace said that their competitors were sexual predators.
Jesus Christ. Oh. Guy reminds me of, who was that? Morton Downey Jr.? That crazy old talk? Yep, the Morton Downey Jr.
He was on one of the WrestleManias.
Yeah, you're right. He was.
He put his cigarette out. He hit him with the fire extinguisher.
That's right. You're right. I forgot about that. I did forget about that. All right. Khan added a little bit to it, and he was talking about AEW's track record, both inside and outside of the ring. He said, there are so many great things that have happened in AEW this year, and I'll hold our track record up on anything, whether it's the quality of the shows, the safety, the travel, the hotels, everything we do in and out of the ring. I think AEW is the very best. Listen, you should have picked up CM Punk at the fucking airport. I'm just saying, the guy was left in London, no ride. Quality of the shows,
I paused for a minute because I was transportation lagging. Yeah. Because like, it seemed like for a while there, like WWE had like Dan Spivey was like driving people to the airport and to rehab and shit. So it's like, who in the AEW roster?
Yeah,
I guess Keith Lee needs something to do. They haven't been doing much with him.
Uber's probably cheaper than what Keith Lee might charge.
But it'd be fun. It'd be fun to be in a car with Keith Lee for a while.
Would be.
Like, I mean, he has one of those like the fucking, I don't even know, like a fucking Ford Model T or something.
I don't. I see him in a like a big Suburban or a Yukon XL.
Ooh.
That's what I see that man in. Just like running. Just
nothing but fucking classical music.
Oh well, probably yeah. So, but Baskin is Audi.
That's good news.
Shit. But okay. Now, safety,
I think the last thing that happened that was bad was like Sammy Guevara, like hurt Jeff Hardy, but I don't know if that was this year or last year.
You got a lot of people out injured right now. Probably not the best time to make that comment. You know, you got a guy that broke his foot in a match. Yeah. You know, one guy who used real glass and got your biggest star fired because he said something about it. Come on, man. I don't know. Travel? I don't know how the travel is. So I'll give him that one. You know what, Tony? I'll give you travel. The hotels, I don't know either. I'll give you that one. So we're 2-2. Yeah. Yeah. Like an old Love Connection episode. Back in 2-2. Mm. Old Chuck Woolery. So, all right. Anything else about Tony Khan's dumb comments?
I think he flew a little too close to the sun. Because, I mean, like, everybody loved the fucking neck brace at the draft, and then he had the floor, and he just talked a little too much. Like, I didn't really have a problem with it, other than the fact that just, like, you could look at it potentially as him sort of making light or sort of capitalizing on the trauma of the victims of Vince to try to like draw some people his way. But I had not heard anybody mention that other than just me thinking about it.
Yeah, and I haven't heard many people, you know, saying anything good about the comment. And really, even I'm seeing a lot of jokes about the neck brace more than I liked it. I had no problem with the neck brace. I think it was fucking awesome. I'm glad he did it. I am glad he did it. Yeah, I mean,
jokes, but like that's part of the thing is that it's like campy and fun. It wasn't like it was like trying to put over how serious it was. It was more just like him trying to keep the immersion.
Yeah, and then he's got to fucking throw WWE under the bus for absolutely no fucking reason.
True. I will say this, though. It did seem kind of interesting. I don't think anything else has really come of it, but apparently Nick Khan was putting the stocks up the same day. So it's like, I think there's going to be more coming out.
Yeah, there's some...
It does seem really weird that Nick Khan's like, well, I'm out of the game, too. No reason. I just want to, you know, go ahead and just cash out right now.
He's still on the board. They'll give him more.
For now. I mean, if it turns, I've heard, this is all just rumors and speculation, rumors and innuendo at the moment, but like I've heard rumors that he was covering shit up. So if that ends up being true, then he's going to be off the board. I mean, you have to imagine that there are, Vince wasn't going, you know, other people knew that this shit was going down. Like, I don't think Vince was keeping anybody in the dark, considering the fact that Vince was showing crew members photos and text messages. Like, I would imagine the upper management had to at least heard mumbling, something
of the sort. Yeah, I mean, now they're saying that. I mean, Vince is denying this whole thing, saying he's got proof it's all bullshit. This is all false accusations. That's great, but I still say, why did you leave then? What were you gonna say? I'm sorry.
I'm gonna say if Vince is Harvey Weinstein, it's like DJ Hyde, like Dan Snyder, or like. Who's the Dan Snyder person trying to get?
Joey Ryan.
Jerry Lawler?
Joey Ryan.
He likes young girls' feet.
True. Pat Patterson, maybe?
That is a deep, deep, sad regret in my life that like Kamala passed away before all the shit came up. Like, yeah. I would just love just to see Kamala in a rocking chair.
Mm-hmm. Y'all thought I was crazy, didn't you?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to tell you now.
I told y'all, gotta push it and pull it. shit. Well, I guess we can move on then. This really is, this was kind of a weird article, but I like bringing up weird shit on this show. I thought this was actually pretty funny, which is why I'm going to go ahead and talk about it, because I think it's a funny article. Y'all remember Eva Marie, right? Old Eva Marie.
Oh, who could forget?
Natalia Eva Marie, that's right. Very, very, very hot. Now, they were smart in this article not to call her a former WWE star. They called her the former Total Divas star. And she was talking to Hook and Barrel magazine. Not quite sure what that is, but she was. And there you go. Nice picture of her. She was very pretty, as usual. Now, what got brought up was harvesting her own meat. Literally hunting and going and killing and your own meat, which a lot of people are starting to do more and more of, especially with everything getting so expensive. But she said to the magazine that she actually got into hunting after watching a PETA documentary about factory farming. So that backfired a little bit. She said, shout out to PETA, because you guys made me a hunter, she said. Thank you very much, because they did all the hard work by showcasing factory farming. So now I'm going to hunt my own meat. You should know where your meat comes from. Mostly, though, she pointed to the nutrition wild game meat provides. One reason was... What? Go ahead. I'll read the last one in a minute. Go ahead.
Just a phrase you should know where your meat comes from. Hi, nice to meet you, Chicago. If you're curious.
I mean, that's
I also like the idea of her just wearing like all pink camo like suit.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. That would be awesome. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure she does wear pink camo, probably with purple hair, just like she looks right now.
Pink camo, pink gun,
whole gun. There's nothing wrong with a pink gun. She might bow hunt. You never know. There's a lot of women bow hunt.
I don't trust her to be that ambidextrous.
Well, anyway. One reason was obviously the food. Her husband, Jonathan Coyle, is really into nutrition and health and wellness. He actually, her husband, I believe, I know he's a bodybuilder, but I think he actually has his own like nutrition line. And she said, anyone that has followed my journey by watching Total Divas and things of that nature knows I truly believe health is wealth. Now, we are raising some of our animals to do that. Now, I understand what she's saying, that yeah, you should know where your meat comes from. Now, you do, but you don't know what that animal has been fucking eating out in the wild. You don't. They could be eating fucking garbage, which means you're eating fucking garbage. All right, so I know way more about what I'm doing with my animals than you would by hunting your animals. So, you know, little bit of a difference there. My wife really has these animals on a pretty good diet. No corn. She doesn't give them any corn. No, like, GMOs or anything. This is going to be some healthy-ass meat, which is why one of my pigs is named Meatloaf. That's going to be... they call it freezer camp around here. The animal goes to freezer camp, which means you're... So, first part of this article I thought was funny, though, is PETA got her to hunt. But yeah, I do understand, like, you know, hunting and all that. Yeah, you got a better chance that mostly that animal was drinking better water, eating better meat, or eating better food. So, yeah. But I prefer it my way. I'm not too big on hunting. I have no problem with people that do it. I just...
No, you're not big.
Camping, I don't mind. If I can bring my boat, I'll go camping. Because that way I can just fucking wake up in the morning and go fishing.
In my experience, camps aren't very fun.
You got to bring the alcohol.
Yeah, that's true, yes.
Got to bring the alcohol. Every time I've gone camping, I've brought at least a case of beer with me. So, just for me.
There you have.
I haven't been camping in a while, and I finally got my fucking boat back. My bass boat. I finally got it back. Every fucking weekend here, it's been raining. Rain today. It's supposed to rain tomorrow. It's supposed to rain all weekend. Gets cleared up on Monday, though. Don't worry.
It's not rained here in a while, but, you know, the fucking... Some of the... I guess, like, what was it? Like, the Northwest or whatever? There's been some real...
My parents were, like, an hour away from me. Literally, 1 hour away. They had, like, a... like, tornado-type storm go through their house on... I think it was Saturday. They're like, oh my God, we lost the gazebo, we lost a bunch of the rafts for the pool, we lost, like, they had some damage done, and I'm like, yeah, it looks like it's about to pour here too. We never got the rain till Sunday. Sunday, we were just about to go out and do some shit, and the fucking sky opened up. And then this morning I woke up and it was raining, and I'm like, pfft. Turn my fucking alarm right here off right now, this motherfucker. So,
right.
Oh, when it was thunderstorm raining. Dude, I hate getting up in that weather. I usually will, but man, if I got a shot to go back to sleep for another 30, 45 minutes, I love sleeping in the fucking rain. Now we got a tin roof so we can just hear the rain. Not too loud, but we can hear the rain, and I love it.
Yeah, it's usually a nice atmosphere to go to sleep into.
Yeah.
Some nice steady rain.
Yeah, so my wife took the kids to school, and I went back to sleep. Good. That's good stuff. Good stuff, that Coors Light. So, something we talked about last week, Mark. Goldberg. Mm-hmm. We talked about
Reps.
Goldberg. We did. Talked about Goldberg calling the product cheesy. AEW product is what we're talking about here. And, of course, Tony Khan wasn't going to let that go, folks. No. He wasn't going to let that go. He has responded to the comments from Goldberg. And let's go ahead and read those comments. Wait a minute. Okay, hold on. Let me go here. It says, here it is. Okay. WWE Hall of Famer Goldberg was in the news recently after he made some comments regarding AEW. Goldberg has been out of WWE contract. Has been out of WWE contract? My God, these guys are getting worse. Since the end of 2022, which has ultimately led to a number of rumors over the past year about him potentially joining AEW. However, the former WCW World... I'm sorry. Just saying that. How long ago was that again? Almost 25 years ago.
I mean, about 98, 99?
25-ish years ago? Okay. Recently shot down the idea himself, calling AEW too cheesy and saying there wasn't a chance of him joining the company. This is something AEW president Tony Khan has denied outright. Of course he did. As he recently explained in an interview, another interview, with Yo Josh Martinez. This guy does any pot. You could be in a fucking hotel bathroom doing a show.
How dare you?
That was not directed at you. You're not hosting a show from a fucking hotel bathroom. And Tony Khan would join your fucking show. Why don't we get this guy on?
I mean, we can ask. Like we're big fans. Just don't listen to the last probably 2 to 3 minutes.
Listen, I got nothing to fucking bitch at the guy about Yo Gabba Gabba. I got nothing to fucking bitch at the guy about. All I would want to tell him first is put your fucking Twitter down, stay the fuck off social media, and please, please do not try to be a fucking character on TV. You are not Vince McMahon. That's it.
Oh, no. I would actually advocate for him being a character on TV.
No, like, no.
It's going to be wildly entertaining, but not for any good reason.
Mm-mm.
Because like, it's going to provide a lot of to talk about.
So no, I... I don't even want to fucking deal with it. I do not want to hear him. I don't want to do it.
It's
going to
happen.
No. Smark, you are putting bad juju.
I mean, I'm not even saying it to be funny, but it's like they're doing the whole storyline based on them injuring him and like trying to be a little bit more real. So like in order to have that happen, in order to take off the neck brace, you would have to think.
No, I don't want this to happen.
It's happening.
Stop it. Stop jinxing it, Smark.
This Jericho just hanging and banging together.
Stop jinxing it, Smark. Stop jinxing it, Smark. Remember when Billy Madison said, stop staring at me, Swan.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway. Okay. In an interview with the Yo Josh Martinez, that podcast, Yo, that Goldberg at one point at least actually wanted to work with AEW because everybody wants to work for AEW. Bill wanted to work here, Khan said. I met with Bill several times. Bill, how many times can you say Bill? Bill was looking to work here, so I don't know what. You know, it's been funny because I had a bunch of nice meetings with Bill and would have honestly been interested in doing something. So since you brought it up, I have a lot of respect for Bill, but I was surprised by that because certainly that wasn't what he said to me when he was talking to me about maybe working here at some point, which I've always been open to.
I'm highly disappointed that this fell through because I would love nothing more than to hear Tony Schiavone on a weekly basis yell, "It's Bill."
Bill. I don't know why I had to do that. Bill. Did I lose you, Smart? Oh, okay. I thought I lost you. I went, you're good. We're good. Okay. So,
you froze for a second there.
I apologize. Freeze! Oh.
Yeah.
All right. So, now, Smark, obviously, I see what's going on here. Goldberg is obviously getting paid by the other guys to bury AEW. It's the Eric Bischoff syndrome. That's what it is. WWE is now paying everyone to shit talk AEW because it's so hard to actually shit talk the company right now for what they're doing. I haven't heard that many Bills since the intro to the Bill Nye the Science Guy. Gee.
Maybe he's a bot. He's Bill Goldbot. He's one of these Twitter bots that he's been talking about.
There you go. Okay. But this is what I mean. I mean,
it's an interesting strategy if you think about it, because either they were trying to get something together and like Goldberg wanted more money than Tony was willing to pay or whatever, or it didn't actually happen and Tony's lying, but then that's actually still just like kind of a good strategy.
She's like,
you were in talks, you were going to work for us. And then if Goldberg's like, that's not true, it just looks like he's a liar.
See, and that's kind of what I'm saying. Again, this is kind of, as you just said, over talking a little bit. Okay, you didn't need, first of all, when you start saying someone's name a bunch of times, it just sounds sus, as the kids are saying. Listen, all he had to say, again, he could have said this much easier. You know, me and Bill have had a few conversations, and at one point he wanted to come here. Now it seems like that has fallen through. Good luck to him. That's it. Not, oh, he really wanted to work here. He really this, he really that. Good God. This guy needs a class. You know who? He needs to go to John Cena's class of company men. We've talked about this before, Smark.
No, nobody does it better. Sign bites, but that doesn't actually say anything at all.
You know, jokes aside, if you wanted someone to go in there and teach these people how to, and listen, I'm not saying there's anything wrong being a company man the way John Cena is, but if you really wanted to get someone to go into NXT and teach them how to conduct themselves in an interview and so forth, that's the guy I would get in there to have teach that shit. And they may, for all I know, but that guy is a professional when it comes to WWE and the interviews and talking about them. There is no one more professional than John Cena. Triple H comes in second to Cena.
I know you may be Miz, because at least Miz.
Very true.
John Cena does have media training.
Very true. Miz is also good. I've said before, I feel like Miz is one of the workhorses. Since Cena left, I thought Miz kind of picked up that role that Cena had, that he could literally jump in and do those media things and all the shit that nobody really wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've got him doing it. They've got, what's the guy I'm thinking of? Why did I just blank on this man's name? Running falls down on a keg.
Titus O'Neil.
Titus O'Neil. Thank you. I couldn't think of either name, the first or the last. Just like they got him doing. And he looks like he is the happiest man in the world when he is doing this shit. This guy, Titus O'Neil, made fun of a lot. A lot of shit this guy went through. Some of it rightly so with the way he used to fall down. But I got to tell you, not a great wrestler, but I got to tell you, this role he's been in is great for him. He seems happy as shit. I never hear anything about him saying something ridiculous about the company. And he's great, you know? So, hey, all the more. They need guys that can go out there and do what they do. Miz is a rarity. He can talk so well, and Cena's a rarity too. Not a lot of guys can be as professional as Cena is.
This is true.
Especially in the wrestling business. I mean, got a lot of guys who are just fucking raw and will say what they want when they want without thinking about it. So, I don't know. All right, let me get to my last little news story here. We'll dive into a little bit of that AEW Dynamite. Now, Smark, I did watch Dynamite, but I didn't watch Rampage. Did you watch Rampage?
Absolutely. That was when the show really started to get its...
Oh, wow. The third hour, which I didn't have time for. I apologize. But anyway, before we get into that, let me get into one last little story here for you. Share my screen here. So, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, set to produce a docuseries on who killed WCW about the rise and fall of World Championship. Looks like he's partnering up with Vice TV on this because Vice TV has not sucked enough blood out of the wrestling industry yet. They need more. They're doing a docuseries titled Who Killed WCW, which will explore the rise and fall of World Championship Wrestling. Johnson and Danny Garcia, founders of Seven Bucks Productions, are executive producing the series, which will explore the complex factors that led to the promotion's downfall, including management challenges, creative decisions, and the intense competition during the infamous Monday Night Wars. Obviously, folks, we're going to have some interviews and stuff like that come out of this. Boy, maybe this is why Mr. Bischoff is so down on AEW right now.
I'm wondering what they're going to do.
Wow, you're really
cool. Here's Bischoff.
No, whoa. There you go.
I said, I wonder what they're going to do for the other 4 hours and 50 minutes after they just say it was Bischoff and then move on. Like, that's Bischoff. Bischoff and Russo. That's it. Thank you. And there's 4 hours left, but, you know, just stick with us.
There was Bischoff.
We're talking Saturday later.
This should be a short one. There was Bischoff. There was the merger with AOL. There was AOL getting...
I like the idea of it being like a docuseries and it hits Bischoff. Stay tuned for our next Dark Side of the Ring.
But I mean, Smart. Wrestling fans already know this story. Most do. We know what killed WCW. We've seen it. We've heard it. There's been books. There's been detailed books on the rise and fall of WCW. So why?
And what tickles me about this is that they're almost certainly going to get soundbite.
Well,
just some poor fucking college intern just like piecing together, just cutting out all the ums and you knows.
Well, here's the thing. You know who was never in WCW?
Who's that?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
I suppose not.
I don't think he ever was. So...
like Memphis and then he...
WCW,
he didn't do any like dark matches or squash matches. Like Triple H was in there for like fucking 20 seconds. Foley was in there. Fucking Undertaker. Like pretty much everybody but Rock was in.
Triple H was a Terror Horizon.
Mm-hmm.
Get it?
Edge was in there for very briefly.
You get it? Terror Horizon? Terror Horizon? Yeah. Yeah, that was him. old trips. Mm-hmm. So I, like I said, first thing, everyone knows this fucking story. Second, gonna be great to hear what The Rock has to say about WCW never being there. I don't know. We'll see how this goes. Yeah, he's just producing, executive producing. So I don't know.
It would actually be pretty great if they just had a bunch, like if everybody they interviewed with, like.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, though, with this. It should be interesting. It might be, but I just don't see them bringing out, like, a bunch of stuff that no one would ever... Oh, my God, who would ever know this little detail? I don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, probably not, but it's going to lead to an increase of people making fun of Eric Bischoff. And
yeah, he'll be fine.
Cornette will probably get a couple checks out of it, and everybody's gonna be doing all right.
Hey, there's old Norab. All right, well, that's all the news I got. Unless you have, oh, you know what we could do real quick, since we do have a little bit of time here. There was a draft.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know that or not, but there was a draft. And if you want to talk about it, we can. Not a lot.
I have fucking breaking news.
No, but I mean, we can quickly.
I hope you're. Well, no, I'm saying I have breaking news, and I hope you're sitting down.
Oh,
I see that you are, but just in case, you might want to hold on to want to go ahead and sit down, maybe make peace with God and all these kinds of things, because I have earth-shattering news that from F4W Online, Ethan Page was removed from the AEW roster. That's right.
That's because he sucked.
I wish that was in the article. You just click on it, it says because he sucks. It was like written by Dave.
Because he always has. What's wrong with everybody? The guy was shit.
He was Cody's friend, and Cody was still there, so he got a chance. And I think he had like a vlog going on at the time too, and they were trying to get like people talking online about AEW. So people that had vlogs and YouTube channels and shit ended up getting hired. He was on the same shows. It was the same Revolution. It was the same one as that fucking the barbed wire Moxley page, the exploding, not page, Moxley Omega, the exploding barbed wire match that fucking went off like a dud, and then Christian came in too, and he was supposed to be the big signing, so it was like Christian and Ethan Page, and one of them actually became a lot more interesting, and the other one became Ethan Page.
Right. Right. Folks, I've been telling y'all about Ethan Page. Ain't nothing special about the guy. I've been saying it, mm-hmm. and saying it, and saying it, and saying it. I hope y'all believe me now.
There you go. Also, it's being reported on a actually more positive and like somebody who doesn't suck shit. The rumor is that Eric Rowan is signed with WWE now, so that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about that last week. His I forgot which Fed it was, but one of them said that he had contractual obligations or something. Upcoming,
yeah, we were talking about him pulling out of indie shows.
Yeah,
it was made official.
Good for him going back, man. I think they're going to do a lot of things with the old Uncle Howdy gimmick. And we'll see what happens. We'll see. What? Okay. So, all right. Again, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on the WWE draft. But what we can do is go through. There wasn't a lot of changes on the show, which I've heard a lot of people complaining about, Mark.
What I heard that was a good argument, a good counterpoint to that is like if they draft everyone, then you just have the same people in the same matches, but just on a different show. So like certain people can't get drafted in order for shit to get refreshed. So it's like, okay, the draft ends up coming up underwhelming. So it's like, well, what do you do to balance it out and make it more interesting?
Yeah.
Maybe just the idea of like NXT gets to pick people, but they have like a certain like talent pool that they're allowed to choose from, something, I don't know.
And to be honest, there were only a not all talent was able to be picked. So out of the talent, though, Bron Breakker is going to SmackDown. And this is, again, only people that got moved. So we're going to go through this really quick. Kiana James moved up from NXT to NXT. Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn are on SmackDown. Damage Control has moved to SmackDown. LWO SmackDown. Ilya Dragunov has been called up. Actually, Kiana James got called up. Ilya got called up to Raw. Also, Kiana. Lyra Valkyria called up to Raw. Final Testament, SmackDown. Dijakovic has been moved to Raw. There was a cool video of him, he really looked like he didn't know he was coming back to Raw. It was a good video of him. He had a really exciting, it was really exciting to see. And New Catch Republic.
I would imagine that he's the kind of person that,
probably.
Which is based on where he is in the totem pole. Because, I was surprised to find out that he was still there. I was like, oh shit, you don't say. I guess he had been on NXT for a while.
I guess they, wait, Nora, did I read something wrong there? Yeah, I didn't say nothing about them, did I? Oh, LWO is SmackDown. It says the LWO has moved to SmackDown. My picture says it. That's what I'm saying. It does. And I can, God damn it, I'll prove it if you want me to. I'll do it. If I can find it.
Well, now we have.
Where'd it go? There it is.
I'm looking it up. I'm trying to do some adjudicating. LWO heads to Raw while SmackDown acquires Shinsuke Nakamura.
See? Right here.
MSN 3 days ago.
Put that motherfucker on the screen.
Contrast LWO SmackDown. Yeah, everything that I'm seeing is saying that LWO is on Raw.
Put that on the screen.
I'm putting it on the screen.
Where does that say LWO to SmackDown right there? It says LWO to SmackDown. Wait a minute. Let me pull up the other picture.
That just means that they drafted them from SmackDown.
Is that what that means? Okay, you're right. I fucked up. Because
Dijak is NXT, and Dijak didn't go to NXT.
No, he went to Raw. All right. All right. I fucked up. Okay? I'll do it again.
Yeah, but don't worry. Raw has Ricochet, so.
Well. Didn't realize. All right.
Because if anybody knows how to quit going Raw.
All right, so yeah, here's some more. Here's SmackDown draft results from night one. Carmelo Hayes moved up from NXT to SmackDown. Nia Jax, who cares? Andrade now on SmackDown. Baron Corbin back on SmackDown. Norab, please.
Norab, hit you with.
All right. Listen, man, I said I fucked up already. You know what? Fuck Baron Corbin.
Yeah, one positive Husey guy. All
right. Night.
Which he has multiple times said it's. I think I'm saying it right now.
There we go. Baron Corbin. Woo. Night two, we had Chelsea Green and Piper Niven moved over. Candice LeRae, Indy Hartwell, DIY, Blair Davenport called up, and Giovanni Vinci moved to. There you go. That was it. Heard a lot of people bitching about the draft. I don't know what you're expecting. I don't know. I don't know what you're expecting. It's a WWE draft. What are you gonna do? Will they hire Jinder again? Hey, they do say the third time is a charm, don't they? What? If the third time's a charm, what's the fourth? Or is this? No. This is only his second time back, right? And then,
well, they fire. I think they got rid of him when he was at three, but it would be the
third time. So there you go. Third time's a charm. If they go, only if they go to India. Oh, they'll find someone else for that.
I kind of unironically want him and Nate to whole little social media thing with him and Hook, where Tony Khan was bitching, or everybody was like, why is everybody talking about Jinder and not Hook? And he's like, who's Hook?
Dang. You could. That would be fine. I
bring back Heath Slater.
I just don't really. Well, you could bring back Heath Slater. I liked Heath Slater. I thought he was pretty funny. Then you had a big jacked guy who can get heat and work. AEW's got those, and they have no fucking clue how to use them.
This is true.
Yeah, WWE has plenty of big jacked guys that can work. AEW, on the other hand, if only they knew how to use them.
Could kind of get behind it, like a tag team with like a Jinder Mahal and Cage, Ryan Cage.
I wouldn't mind seeing
Cage. Somebody has to be their manager.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Cage and Claudio as a tag team. After that match, that would be good. So I guess we can go and talk about Dynamite. Dynamite started off with Tony Khan. He's running shit from Jacksonville. I guess he's in the war room running shit from there. And as it's going, the show starts glitching out and, you know, getting all staticky and shit. And then next thing you know, we get the Young Bucks. They're telling us why they weren't fired, which I think a lot of people were wondering why they weren't fired. And CM Punk just, you know, kind of just called him a clown and was fired. He feared for his life. Ironclad contracts, folks. Ironclad contracts.
They're letting Big Show book the show. That's the first thing that came to my mind when they said Ironclad contracts. Like, oh god, the fucking Big. Yeah, like the SBC said, the Big Show close.
Yeah, well,
as for now and forever, it'll be known as they're gonna have the Young Bucks on TV every other week.
That they lost their all their money in strip malls.
It was a great get like angle because it's like. You've gone broke because you can't make good business decisions. So it's like you're financially responsible and you're an idiot. It's like, oh, that's a good wrinkle to add to the character. That's going to get people behind him.
Was that him and Shawn Michaels? Or was that him and JBL?
I'm pretty sure it was JBL.
I think it might.
Which is also ironic, too, because you got JBL, no, they fucking exist. And he's like, you're making bad business decisions, kid.
Yeah.
You're going to be out there work dancing on the streets for money.
Need some mawa juana.
Mm-hmm. Look at Al Torito. He's croaking.
Yeah. I think we played those commercials a couple times on this show.
It's just such a stupid character to follow. Big Show's a line of fucking failed strip malls.
That's what it was. JBL bought HBK's contract after the recession. Thank you, NORAB. Thank you. I knew there was it was a different angle, but thank you for bringing that up.
We are merging the two together, but there definitely was like Big Show.
We've all been there, Smark. Shit. So yeah, we had all that. Go on. And then we had the the elite only entrance to the show, which was interesting. And then finally, we had Swerve come out and have a nice little promo. I don't know why they didn't do it last week, but they did. Then next thing you know, you got the Young Bucks out there. Because Swerve was out there wondering who his next opponent's going to be. Now,
it was actually theoretically a good idea because they sort of tried to divvy it up into two different categories, I guess, or mm-hmm. two different occasions. Because it started off like last week, it started off with Swerve in a match. And then on Collision, they made you like try to tune into Collision. So they were trying to get like two rating hits off of that. And it was actually kind of cool because it was like they were getting a lead in from the NBA playoffs, and mm-hmm. they opened up the show with Swerve. So they're at very least doing everything they can to like put their machine behind him.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, there was some good stuff on here though. But I got to tell you, the one thing I think I liked is the fact that they really. I think a lot of people thought this was going to be Kenny Omega coming out. because they were saying, you know, fellow Canadian, they were in Winnipeg, fellow Canadian, blah, blah, blah. Oh, he's waiting right there by the entrance. He's coming out. And then Christian's music hits. And boy, I bet a lot of people just went, oh, shit. Okay. But I thought it went, the whole segment went pretty good. I think Christian is a good opponent for a first real storyline for Swerve. Thank God they're giving him an actual storyline, which, you know, people say, hey, you know, no storylines in AEW. Christian literally told you exactly why he was going after Swerve. He told you, I'm not going to forget that you went too. And he said, my son, when he was talking about Nick Wayne, my son's school and left him laying. I remember that, he said. Telling you why this story makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Telling you. And then
and
he went.
Also, they were in that match in the pay-per-view. Swerve ended up costing him. He lost the match.
Yeah.
It was the coffin match with Sting and Darby, and he was mentioned that too. I actually thought it was kind of clever that he actually had all these built-in reasons for why he was going after him other than just he wants the title, which is kind of a valid enough reason. But yeah. That I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a fucking fun feud.
Yeah, I think that's going to be very good. I think this will be very good for both guys. Christian is so good at getting people over that I think this is the perfect opponent. No one needs to see Christian win. Swerve can jump in there with a, you know, with Nick Wayne and have a match, with Luchasaurus and have a match, which all builds up to his match with Christian. And I know, oh, he's got to go through everyone like it always happens. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Then right after, we had Adam Copeland with Buddy Matthews. Long match. Long match. Match went pretty...
It was made to feel longer because they went to commercial like two or three times. So it felt like it was going on forever, but it was really only about like 20 minutes.
Yeah, but then the match was over and it kept fucking going and going and going. And the House of Black came out, Aleister Black came out. Copeland was about to give the concerto to fucking what's his name to the Buddy Matthews.
Buddy Matthews.
All the shit there, lights and off and on and on and off. And it was very confusing. It was dark. I was scared.
I regret calling on Twitter because somebody made a comment about like how anytime Malachi calls him Mr. Matthew thing. That's like, and he keeps doing it too. He's like, Mr. Matthews. I was like, why are you adding Boy Meets World elements to your like creepy golf stable?
Maybe he was a fan. You never know.
It'd be pretty great if you had fucking. Like, I mean,
hey, do what you got to do, you know. Yeah. But yeah, I just thought it was a little weird. You got Edge out there, or Adam Copeland out there being the total heel here.
Attacking? Well, they put it over in commentary that when people did do bad things, that was like, I think that was like the precipice for like why Julia Hart turned heel and a couple other people. Like, I think their characters changed after they got the Mist of the Eyes. They mentioned that like Mist of the Eyes makes people do weird things, but then they didn't really elaborate outside of that. You're supposed to kind of remember it on your own. But they're at least trying to put it over that the Mist changes people.
All right. I'll go with that. I'll go with that. If you want me to. Samoa Joe versus Isaiah Cassidy. Decent match, but kind of why? No real reason for this match, but anyway.
I mean, somebody needed to get beat up by Joe because Joe lost the belt and you want to make Joe look good again.
All right. We had Sky Blue coming out for a minute. She had a match on Rampage, I believe, against Willow Nightingale. I did not watch Rampage, but I did see the botch from their match. Dirk sent me that. Thank you, Dirk. I appreciate that. Dirk sent me that botch from the match. It was not good.
Does it even count as a botch as much as it is just like, okay, so if I remember correctly, Willow had a chair, and this guy basically just like dived like and put her hand like right in front of the chair, but it was like slow motion almost. It just didn't look good at all. So like technically what was supposed to happen happened, but it just didn't look like shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. It looked really bad.
I mean, I guess we're arguing about semantics as to whether or not it's a botch, but yeah, it looked bad.
It did. It did. It did not look good. But after that, we got this Orange Cassidy segment. He's out there, and I guess depending on where you go, some people say this could be a work. Some people say it's not a work. But the first thing he does talk about when he's out there, Orange Cassidy, is that Chuck Taylor will not be able to wrestle anymore after the parking lot brawl that him and Trent Barretta had. I don't know yet if that's true or not. I don't know if he had an injury going into that match, but we'll see. Next thing you know, you got Trent coming out because he's a dick, which this storyline means so little to me right now. And this made it mean even less to me after this segment was over. He's coming out, Trent, oh, look, he's making it all about him, Orange Cassidy, this is what you do, you selfish prick, blah, 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 blah. Next thing you know, you got Statlander's coming out to try to calm down Cassidy. They're yelling at each other back and forth. And then Don Callis comes out, whispers something in Cassidy's ear, and they just walk away. Just walk away. And everyone looks confused. And that was it. That was the segment. I'm still confused. Well, that puts an odd smile on my face. Oh, there it is. You got it. Yeah. Yeah,
I did this one more time in full screen.
Uh-huh. All right. It was bad. Boxing it was bad. Come on. We've never seen bad moves before. Come on, people. Could happen to anybody. Could happen to anybody. So I'm not that worried about it, really. But then that's it. So luckily, though, we got a little bit of Renee Paquette backstage. And then Chris Jericho versus Shibata, which ended up being a comedy match. It really
is. You're supposed to be.
You had Shibata with a fucking trash can over his head acting like a chicken, basically.
I think it was supposed to be cool, but it just looked fucking ridiculous.
It looked very ridiculous.
Because you had him like swinging his head like at Jericho with the fucking garbage can in his head. And like Jericho not committing to actually get hit.
Yeah.
Like fucking a la Sky Blue. I will say this though, fucking Jericho in 2024 coming out in fucking tights is like, that is you are leaning into your public perception. And is he starting to win me over? Because not only did he come out in tights, but in like trunks, little small tights, not pants, but he was wearing the fucking tights.
Dude, he's going full troll.
It's him, right? Top half, Chris Jericho. Bottom half, there's a bunch of roots. Like, he's literally, it's him as a tree is drawn onto the tights. Because there's, like, roots going in all different directions. So it's, like, half Chris Jericho, half roots for legs. He's half tree. He's the learning tree. So it's
learning
like,
tree.
It's fucking is the most ridiculous. I gotta see if I could find it because it's the most ridiculous fucking tights. But it had me rolling because I was like, "This is amazing. Dude, you're committing to the character at the very least, even if the character sucks. You're at least trying."
We had Big Bill helping him out because he's supposed to be watching Big Bill. Big Bill just sitting there walking away, going, "I told you to keep your eyes on me. You're gonna keep your eyes on me. Who's keeping their eyes on me? You keeping your eyes on me?" Shut the fuck up, Big Bill. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this is sort of not really committing to the character.
Shut up, Bill. Kind
of randomly yelling every so often.
Shut up, Bill. Bill. Last I talked to Bill. Bill. Bill.
That's probably why he didn't want to come, is because he just kept calling him Bill the entire time. I was like, that's weird.
Why do you finish every sentence with my
fan,
name?
Bill.
My name is Goldberg.
That's right. No, the Expendables movie that I think you were in, but I'm not positive.
No, he wasn't in any of the Expendables.
Wasn't he in some kind of shitty action movie that nobody cared about?
Goldberg was in The Longest Yard. He did. He was in Santa's Sleigh, I believe was the name of the movie he did. And I think that's about it. It really didn't. You can look it up, but I think those are the only two movies I know him from right there. He's had some cameos. Right.
Holy shit, he was.
He was not in any of the Expendables, though. I guarantee that.
He was in. He was on the Goldbergs.
Of course, was on the Goldbergs. Of course, he was on an episode of Law and Order SVU, as Norab says. He said Law and Border, but it was Law and Order.
Los Angeles.
Never. I don't watch that. I don't watch that.
Let's see, Talkin' Shop. He was on Scoob, Fury of the Fist, and the Golden Fleece. I'm sure that's an actual thing. It's got a 2.9 rating on IMDb.
Oh, God.
He played Victor in Con Man. He was on The Flash as Big Sur. American Satan as Hawk. He was in that, let's see, The Color Purple.
Really?
Checkpoint. No. I just wanted to start. I thought it'd be great. If he was,
like, wait, really? Like
how the Beast has been doing. Where he's showing up in just like random like art movies. He was in like fucking Call Me By Your Name or something. Bill Goldberg. I hit refresh, so now I missed out some of these things. I want to keep reading this because it's.
I can guarantee you. I can guarantee he was not in the Expendables movies. I've seen all four of them at least three or four times.
And I believe you on that, but like.
Yeah, Goldberg was. Oh, you're thinking Universal Soldier 2.
Staged.
You're thinking with Jean-Claude Van Damme. You're thinking Universal Soldier 2.
Kill Speed with Big. He was Big Bad John. That's got a 3.8 on IMDb.
I know what you're thinking. I'm telling you.
I know. I've already admitted that I'm wrong. I'm just reading off.
No, IMDb. But you said. But you said shitty action movie. You're thinking Universal Soldier 2.
Half Past Dead 2, he played Burke. That's got a 4.3. That was straight to video.
Oh, yeah.
The Kid and I, Santa Slate. He was in Desperate Housewives. Inmate number 2.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Longest Yard. Looney Tunes back in action. He was Mr. Smith.
Oh.
He was on an episode of Kim Possible as the Pain King. He was on Arliss. I didn't know that.
Ooh, that's a good show. I liked Arliss with Richard Malt. Robert Wool. Okay.
Dear. Yeah, Robert Wool. He was mm-hmm. Big Guy and Yes, Dear. The Show of the Archive. Let's see. Megadeth. He was in the Megadeth video for Crush 'Em. He was in Universal Soldier Return. He was on the Jesse Ventura story as Luger.
The Universal.
He was on the Chitty Love Boat.
Yeah, Universal Soldier is what you were thinking.
He's a longstanding acting crew.
I like the Universal Soldier movies, by the way. So.
Oh, well, absolutely.
I'm a fan of Van Damme, so, you know. Jean-Claude.
I'm a fan of Bill.
Back on
Goldberg, we just read his entire IMDb. Which I guess, in a way, playing yourself is the hardest role anyone can undertake.
That's really all he ever plays. It's like Morgan Freeman.
Oh, you haven't seen him in as Big Guy on fucking whatever's come. We just...
You're right. I haven't. Fucking nailed that one. You're right. I haven't.
If you would have saw him as Hawk in American Satan, you would have a different opinion.
Oh, well, I didn't realize how his acting chops in that movie. So,
Inmate number 2 on Desperate Housewives, I'll never forget.
I
Big Guy, Yes, Dear. I fucking... What?
Look, you already forgot.
It was Yes, Dear, but I'm trying to see who was that show.
No.
Michael Malley was on it.
Who?
Michael Malley, the guy from Guts.
Who? If you showed me a picture, I'd go, oh, all right, that dude.
He looks like an uncle.
Wow. That totally just narrowed it down. Mike O'Malley.
Oh, no, it will when I show you.
Oh, you're going to show me. All right, then I won't. Mike O'Malley. Mike's familiar. He looked familiar. Scroll down for a second there. To the
Abbott Elementary, Heels, Grand Clue, Snowpiercer, Drivers, Remorse, Sully, Sanjay and Craig, Concussion, Glee. Oh, there you go. We're back to Glee.
I have not seen any of those right there that you just mentioned. None.
Noted thespian Mike O'Malley.
None. I'm sure I've seen him in something. Anyway, I guess back to the AEW. As I said, I thought this was probably the best match on the show. I really liked this match. I liked Cage and Claudio Castagnoli. I thought those two went out there and fucking killed it. That was a great fucking match. Claudio getting the win. Tapping out Cage.
The promo Claudio did before the match was kind of... I don't know. I felt about that because he was like... It's like, you know what? You lose all the time. That's a part of wrestling. But I'm a wrestler, so I'm going to keep wrestling. It's like, all right, right on.
Well, you still getting a check.
Like, you don't always get to win. And if you're me, the check.
Hey, win, lose, give me a check. Fuck it. There you go. We had Mariah May versus Serena Deeb. Good to see Serena Deeb back. Great to see Serena Deeb back. But this match here did make it official. It will be Serena Deeb versus Toni Storm for the AEW Women's Championship. Jumping right over that old, what's that girl, that Mercedes chick they brought back. Who's she? But... let's face it, this is the way it should be. Serena Deeb has been there, got hurt, came back. She should jump right into the title picture, as far as I'm concerned. Now, Smark, I don't know if it was something we said, but Kyle O'Reilly cut his hair.
Indeed he did. That was a big development.
He no longer looks like a young, short Terry Funk. From Roadhouse. Yeah, no longer looks like that. So we did see that. Him and Adam Copeland made a weird little pact backstage. Copeland is towering over this guy. And he's like, yeah, if you need any help from me, just let me know. I got you back. And...
I'll try his very best. And, they both had skulls on the t-shirts.
Well, of course. And it was,
graphic design department.
Yeah, skulls.
Every AEW wrestler has a fucking skull on.
Skulls are so cool, man. So cool.
Yeah.
But I thought it was hilarious. I'm looking at fucking Adam Copeland towering over this little guy. And
their merchandise is bought like 85% by Guy Fieri.
I don't know.
He just has a line of AEW t-shirts.
Finally, I just started staring at Renee, which is what I should be doing anyway. Just like, God.
So you're saying that Kyle O'Reilly and Edge had a suicide pact?
No. They had some... I told you what they had.
They played before prom. They're going...
Right. Exactly. Exactly. It's totally American Pie. Absolutely. Mariah May came up and said one time at Bandcamp. Oh, I'd like to hear that story. All right. So then, Smark, we had the return of Kenny Omega. So... According to Kenny Omega, he did everything he could to not have the surgery. The doctor told him he needs to have the surgery. From what I know, from what I can decipher from all the bullshit, he still needs to go into the surgery. He has not done that yet. So he still needs the surgery, which is why he probably told Okada, give me a couple of months and we'll do this. Good promo. I think everyone expected how the end of this was going to be with everything going on. I think everyone knew the Bucks were fucking turning on him. I think everyone knew. I do like that he's like, don't forget there's one more EVP, and that's fucking me. So, I don't know. I'm not a Young Bucks fan, but I got to admit I'm liking the way this storyline is kind of rolling along. So we'll see where it goes. We'll see where it goes. But good to see Omega back for right now. Again, they probably just brought him back because they were in Winnipeg. And we probably won't see him for a while. Like I said, I believe he still needs to go through the surgery. So we'll see. Yeah, that's totally not cool. No bueno. No bueno. Now, Smart, you did watch Rampage. Yes.
Of course I watched Rampage.
Well, talk to me a little bit here.
Sure, yeah. There was suplexes and drop kicks, and Aubrey Edwards was there, and I just highly recommend it.
I like Aubrey Edwards. I'm sorry.
And, you know, that tore the fucking house.
Did it? Their verse. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know the
fucking.
Go ahead.
Matt Sydal versus Kenta Kobashi. Everyone loved it. Ricky Morton was there. Actually, fucking the long. He wrestled Mustafa from the Gangsters. It was really a wild
show. Wow. This is. Was this Rampage or. Velocity.
It may have been what I saw when I fell asleep while watching. I think it was probably Rampage.
You sure it wasn't Velocity? Every time I hear Rampage, I think of Brad Maddox.
Rampage?
Why?
Rampage.
Oh, Rampage.
Fuck page.
I figured you'd go with fucking. All right, I get it now. Ram. That is funny that they made that the name of that show. But she, she's not Paige anymore. I don't know. Was there anything interesting on there besides that? I'm looking right now. I don't see anything interesting that happened on that show. I do know the Omega storyline kind of continued over right there. I believe FTR actually offered his stomach to Kenny Omega if he needs it. But anyway, Anyway, though, I've got no nothing else, folks. Unless you guys got anything else. Would Xavier Woods have been better? Maybe. I probably still wouldn't have got it. Sorry. But anyway, Smark, what do you got?
Not a whole lot. It is kind of funny that they fired Ethan Page and Mary Kay.
Well.
You're the old fucking WWE.
I've been telling you all the guys sucks. I'm telling you.
Bad. They're doing Backlash and Power Resistance, like reunion, comeback special.
Oh, that'll be wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Frenchie Martin's probably dead, so that's the only other person.
Yeah, French. They love us Americans. That'll be fun.
Hell yeah.
Well, Smark, I guess we can get on out of here then, man, right?
No, it's cool.
I guess we can. Well, Smark, tell them where they can find you, my brother.
You got it. Mondays, typically 8:30, sometimes 10:30. I think it'd be 10:30 this coming Monday. It's totally inappropriate team sports. Tits, that's where you can find us. Talking NHL playoffs, probably some UFC 301's coming out this Saturday. It's gonna be a fucking star-studded lineup. It's going to be so.
All right, awesome, and of course, you got.
Yeah, you can tune in Monday to find out if Reeves could have it. NXT Detroit, which is where it snows, did not hang out with them and then did not come back on the show Monday. So he may or may not be there Monday. That's a fun thing.
Oh, motherfucker. Jesus.
That's right. These damn British people.
Well, there you go.
It's because you spend like 2 years accusing a guy of being British.
I don't know anyone. I don't know. So, folks, on that note, find us, me and Smark, right here on YouTube and Mixlr. Next week, wrestlingoutlet.mixlr.com if you want to check us out there. YouTube, just go to Wrestling Outlet. You will find us right there. And we are here every Thursday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. That is right. Anything else, Smark?
That'll do it.
All right, folks. Thank you. Thank you, chat room. Y'all always keep this show rolling along and funny, and we appreciate it. Thank you, everyone, listening. Thank you, everyone, downloading. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And see you later.
No, anyways.